Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine, no special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Woo! Come on.
Welcome to Life for Your Path Radio. What an honor and a privilege it is to spend the next 30 minutes talking about Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In the next 30 minutes, it is our goal at Life for Your Path that you will gain just a little nugget of information, something that's going to help you get through the rest of your day. So in the meantime, let's get started with a wonderful song called I Am Free.
Blind will see, and through you the mute will sing, and through you the dead will rise, and through you all hearts will praise, and through you the darkness flees, and through you my heart screams, I am free.
Yeah, come on.
I am.
Church was in full swing today. Pews were packed. Suddenly, Satan appeared at the front of the church. Everyone started screaming and running for the front entrance, trampling each other in a frantic effort to get away from the evil incarnate. Soon, everyone had left the church except for one elderly gentleman who sat calmly in his pew without moving, seeming oblivious to the fact that God's ultimate enemy was in his presence. So Satan walked up to the old man and said, "Don't you know who I am?" The man replied, "Yep, sure do." "Well, aren't you afraid of me?" Satan asked. "Nope, sure ain't," said the man. "Don't you realize I can kill you with a word?" asked Satan. "Don't doubt it for a minute," returned the old man in an even tone. Did you know that I could cause you profound, horrifying agony for all eternity? Persisted Satan. Yep, was the calm reply. And you're still not afraid? Asked Satan. Nope, said the old man. More than a little perturbed, Satan asked, Well, why aren't you afraid of me? And the old man said, Because I know where I'm going. And Satan, I know where you're going. And all of your kind will end up in the same spot. But me, I'm going up with him. Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you listening. You're free. You're free.
Jesus said, He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You have no obligation to the sinful nature anymore. You are free. You are free in the name of Jesus.
I am free.
So how does it feel to be free? Did you know that you were free? There's two scriptures I want to share with you this morning. The first one is Romans 6:17-19. It says, But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. The second one is 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm sure some of you know this. It says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, Satan is really not that smart. He has one tactic, and he uses it on everybody. What he does is he provides a little bit of truth, and then he mixes it with a lie. Let me share where he does this. Matter of fact, the first time he ever did this was in Genesis 3 with the fall of man. It says, Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now notice, the Lord God had made. Okay, remember that part. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.
You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. See? He took the truth and he mixed it with a little lie, and thus they fell into temptation. But look, guys, even Jesus was tempted. He was tempted three times. First time was in Matthew 4. It says, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, you see right there that temptation? See, Satan knew what to say. Now, we, on the other hand, sometimes we don't know what to say. I'm going to share in a little bit what we can say. But the second time, it says, Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. See, so even there, that was the second time. But he even took scripture and threw it at Jesus. But fortunately, Jesus knew better, and so he was able to share really what it was written. It said again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. See, so obviously here, Jesus was tempted three times. Now he knew exactly what to say. My point is that you're not alone. You know, Jesus obviously knew the answers. He was divinity, but he was also humanity too. So being that he knew what to say, well, that's easy. But for us, you know, we don't know what to say. So God gives us one another to help each other. Now, God does know that we get tempted. He knows that there's oppression. He knows that there's issues. And the reason why I know he knows that is because in Ecclesiastes 4, he says, "Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter." Well, if there was no comforter, now keep in mind, too, this is Ecclesiastes. This is Old Testament, so this is before Jesus came. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, which is a little bit after this, he says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm all alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." See, so that's why he made each other. That's why when in the first part of this I said you're free because God brings people. He brings people, friends, family members, who can be in front of you, who can help you during times of trouble. But even if there is no one, he still has his word. In Psalm 1 it says, "O Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me." Well, obviously, if the enemy is pursuing you, that means you're doing something right. Do you understand that? If the enemy is leaving you alone, it's because he's got you. But if he doesn't have you, you're right, he is going to attack you. But the good news is, and this is, of course, in Psalm 1, is, "O Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me." You see? Again, from all who pursue me. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." So if you're faithful and you're obedient, well, he'll provide everything you need. Now, how do you know what you need? What if it's a want? Well, how do you know? You might not. The good news is, because you're free, well, it's going to be up to God. So if he's a provider of all your needs, I guess you don't have to worry, right? Well, sometimes we'll worry, and that's okay if we do. The point is God does provide your needs. Now, you might think it's money. You might think it's a job. It could be a home. It could be a friend. Who knows? But I know one thing for sure, that God's going to provide to you right now, and that is a huge blessing. You know, I know somebody who saves souls, but it's not the kind of souls you're thinking of. He's actually a shoe repairman. Pretty funny, huh? Well, he also saves souls as well. But anyway, I'm going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have an interview with a man that saves souls. Jesus did not select the learned men or the religious leaders of his day, but rather he chose simple, tough, hard-working men from different backgrounds and even different personalities and moods. They were men who in the natural would seem the less likely to be chosen as disciples. Jesus chose unlearned fishermen, a cold-hearted tax collector who the people saw as a collaborator with their Roman oppressors. He chose hot-headed, rowdy youths, James and John, nicknamed Sons of Thunder. He chose a political activist, Simon the Zealot, of whom the Romans would have labeled as a terrorist. Jesus, however, saw beyond the natural. He saw their hearts. Folks, I am so excited and so happy right now because on the phone, we have got Jody Seguras, who owns a business called The Cobbler. And what makes his business so incredible is he repairs shoes. And well, of course, you know, part of a shoe is a soul. And so when I said that he mends souls, and this is a servant of God, this is someone who is chosen to help people. And so let's introduce Jody. Jody, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us tonight.
Well, thank you for calling. It's my pleasure.
Tell us about your business and your relationship with Christ and what God has done to bring you to where you are today.
How long is this program? We moved here in 1978. The whole idea of the big dream of getting out of the city and moving out into the country. We chose a town out in west of Colorado. We were not Christians at the time. We looked around the whole Western Slope, ended up picking a small town. Next thing you know, we had money invested in a home and also a shoe repair business. At the time, I was repairing telephone equipment and felt pretty handy with my hands and just jumped off, and we jumped into it. Through the years, we made a lot of mistakes in business, not knowing what to do. We came into a crisis of owing too much money. Then God showed up. We end up losing the business and took a period of about 9 years to repay the debts we owed. It was, we called it a wilderness experience. God had showed up in our lives, became very real to us, began speaking to us, showing us what to do, how to pay bills back, how to communicate with our the people we did owe, how to tithe and put him first financially. And I have no idea those years where the money came from, but every month we had enough money to write every bill we owed that was due that month. 9 years later, we was completely out of debt. He then gave us, we had sold the business, what was left of it, and then he actually put us back into the business again, debt-free, and with commissioning us that I want you available. I want to be able to use you anytime, day or night. Send anybody to your place, call you out here, call you out there, and I will meet your needs. And we've been doing that since 1992 now.
In 1998, there was an article written about you entitled, Jody the Cobbler, Easygoing Christian Mends Broken Souls and Feeds Hungry Hippies. Now, I just got this today. And I would like to read, with your permission, a small portion of it. After talking about the long search for inner peace, it says, sinking deeper into debt, Jody found himself searching for answers. Still propelled by a partying lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, the inner contentment he sought seemed more elusive than ever. He couldn't escape himself. And then you're quoted here to say, it was almost as if Louise, who's your wife, correct?
Right.
Was waiting for me, Jody said. I was hurting. I was $38,000 in debt, and all I had was $250 a month driving a school bus. But I knew I needed a personal God in my life, and that's when I turned to Jesus.
Amen.
Your marriage, I'm sure, hasn't always been perfect.
Well, the first 6 or 7 years of our marriage, we were not Christians. Did everything wrong. I met my wife hitchhiking. We lived together. We cheated on each other. We did a lot of different crazy things living in that whole era. 7 years later, whatever, we came to the Lord. That was in 1982. In fact, it's 25 years ago now. since that, God showed me how to love my wife. And he'd come alongside of me and said, hey, this comment you said to your wife tonight, what was her facial reaction when you said that? And I could see, I hurt her. I wounded her by the words I used. And then he'd just come alongside and say, well, that's not loving your neighbor. And so he showed me. He spoke to me. He corrected me. He guided me. And he showed me how to put her first. We have an incredible marriage. We've been married 31 years. It's been just one incredible journey with a beautiful person that I've come to love. It's truly my best friend.
In this article that was written, there was another section that I highlighted. It's probably going to open up a can of worms with you, and I'm so excited. It says, Christianity isn't about putting on a suit and tie and going to church on Sunday. He said, it ain't no plastic Jesus on a dashboard. You got to live it. It means going to the kind of people that Jesus would have gone to.
Every one of us can relate to different people's groupings. There's cowboys. There's the whole rodeo scenes. There's motorcycle gangs. There's partiers, the yuppies, the rich and famous, the intelligent, the street kids. And as Christians, all of us has come from different people groupings. And we can relate to those people. We can talk to those people. You know, what God has shown me is that our message needs to be for that people grouping. In Jesus' day, he talked to farmers about seeds, to fishermen about fishing. You know, that would make no sense to some of the people today. So our communication, our words, the way we present this incredible gospel of Jesus Christ needs to conform to that people grouping. If we look at advertisement, they do it. Cigarette commercials targets people groupings by the way they package their material. The cowboy, the Marlboro, and the cowboy hat, the Virginia Slim, and the long slinky dress. They target people groupings. God would have us package His message, not changing the truth of what He has done for us, but to meet and reach and truly communicate His message to each and one of these people groupings. I have people groupings that I can communicate with, but there are people out there that surely can reach people, talk to people that I can never reach.
One of the things that you and I talked about this week, which is also going to be another portion of a different program in the future, is about the Pharisees of today. Would you expound just a little bit on the Pharisees of today, and you could write a whole sermon on that, you said. Summarize for me, and for obviously whoever's listening.
How long's your program? For the last 25 years, I've gone to denominational churches. I've heard the gospel, been to every seminar on how to present the gospel, four spiritual laws, Roman roads, and every other way. What God is teaching me is how to hear His voice and how to hear, you know, what His plan is. And that's from a total non-judgment stance. You mentioned feeding the hippies. We're involved in a group called the Bread of Life that goes to the Rainbow Gathering every year. We set up a huge kitchen. We have learned to go there with no judgment at all, but to go there with the love of the Father. One of the examples I love using is there were two young women walking up to our kitchen one day, and this religious spirit in me would say to me, you know, they need to repent before, you know, they'll go to hell. But then the Father started speaking, and he says, you see those two young women? And I go, yes. He says, they've been hurt. Okay. By a man. Ooh, that looks just like you. Then the Father just broke my heart with compassion. I found out their names. I blessed them. I gave them food. I gave them water. I would give them anything to love them. That's what the Father wants. He has not come to judge the world. There will be a judgment according to His word. But we are to love our neighbor, no matter what they look like, no matter what religion they're on, no matter what they're doing. We are to love our neighbor.
Now,
you've been saved a lot longer than I have. I've been saved 5 years. And in 5 years, when I first was saved, I was radical. And I mean, I was actually raised up in a Pentecostal church. The fortunate part about that is within the Pentecostals is their dedication. Time is not an issue. Church can go 2 hours, 3 hours, and it's not a big deal. And their study habits remind me, of course, of the Methodist church. And then I visited Baptist churches and their music and their fellowship, their food. There's so many denominations that have so many positives. Yet I read through the Word and I never find anything about denomination. No matter who comes in front of me, no matter what religion they are, no matter what they believe in, you're right. I judge too, and it's like I've spent my whole life watching, almost like being trained to judge and to criticize or to make fun of, and it's taken everything of my power to not do that.
Let me jump in. Several times the Bible uses the word church, but the principle that it's promoted in the Bible is the kingdom of God. And there's only one church and only one kingdom. There's two kingdoms, but the kingdom of God. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son's love. And so now I am part of this kingdom of God. So every one of my brothers and sisters is part of this kingdom of God. And if we look at it as a kingdom of God, then there is no denomination. I will continue to bless my brothers and sisters. And yet I have no war against anybody that's not part of this kingdom of God, because I realize that my battle is not against flesh and blood. And I continue to look at it that I will do everything I can to come against the kingdom of darkness. If people are depressed, if people are sick, if there's a division, what's creating that? So my war is against this kingdom of darkness to feed the hungry, to save those that are lost, to bring healing to those that are sick, to bring deliverance to those that are in captivity. So I like looking at things as the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, and I will bless and continue to bless the kingdom of God. Everyone that belongs to this kingdom of God, I want to promote them. I want to build them up. I want to encourage them. I want to bless them. I will pray for them. And that includes those that are not yet Christians. I see the spiritual blindness that is blinding them, or I see that there is a deceiver out there, one that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And my battle is against him and him only.
Jody, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share. One of the things that I definitely wanted to ask you about before we end this is your shoe business.
I tell people I'm just in it for saving souls and healing people.
It's that simple, isn't it?
God has blessed us beyond means. If you used to go into the city and ask people what if they could change their life, what a desire, the idea of living up in your mountains, having a home business, working with your hands, God has truly blessed me, but I don't want to be confined to that. It is a ministry. We love to share with our customers, love to pray with our customers. One of the things God has given us is the ability to recognize somebody walk in and something stirs in our spirit. Now, I may use the word burden. All of a sudden, I have a burden for this person. And I asked the Father about this one time. He says, is this from you or from me? And he brought me back to before I knew him. He said, well, did you have a burden for anybody before you knew me? And I go, yeah, for me, myself, and I. And so I recognize that when something stirs in my spirit now, it's from the Father. So what are you doing here? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Should I pray? Should I say something? And when so certain customers, it doesn't happen to every person, but certain customers will walk through the door and next thing you know, we're sharing with them, we're praying with them, we're encouraging them. We live in a very small community, which means we know a lot of people in their business, and it's an incredible opportunity to witness, to strengthen, to encourage, to just come alongside people.
Jody, thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure to talk with you. I was introduced to you from a phone call you made to me because my brother-in-law and his family were living with us, and you called and asked where he was. And as I share with you that first day, which surprisingly enough, our conversation wasn't that long. I thought we were going to go on for about 2 or 3 hours, but I don't think either one of our wives were going to let us do that. Is there anything that God has put on your heart that you haven't said that you would like to say?
God is setting off an alarm and waking up his body. In a lot of third world countries, that body is awoken. Here in America, we are just alive. A church that is full of his spirit, that is listening to him, that is being obedient, that river of living waters. I love one of the authors and spoke of this living waters as the tears that Jesus is shedding for the lost, the dying, the hurting. That as we drink of his tears that he is shedding for the lost, the dying, the hurting, that there will be this living water that will rise up out of us, that will not come from outside in, because if we're saved, it's already in, that will come from inside of us and cause us to go out and make a difference, to change this world, to make it a better place to live, to bring forth his love, his pure love, to touch those that are hurting, to bring those forward to know their Savior, to see those that are sick be healed, to see those that are in bondage being delivered. That is what Jesus Christ did. We are to be disciples after him, to copy him, not a denomination, not a man, but to follow after Jesus and be his example. And he's saying to the church, wake up. Now is the time.
Folks, we'll be right back. Jody, thank you much. God bless, brother.
God bless you.
Father in heaven, Lord, may your name be glorified above all others, above all this world, above everything else in our lives. For nothing else in all of this world matters but to live our lives for you and you alone. May your wonders never cease. May your spirit never leave. May we ever long to see your face. And when we've turned from you again, oh, how quickly we forget. May we be reminded of your grace. May your wonders never cease. Above all this world, above.
Well, folks, that's it for program number two. I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. And the fact that you stopped and took the time to listen to this not only was a blessing to me, but it was also a blessing to God. And we just want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank Jody for taking the time to share his life and the things he's doing. And I just want to pray us out. Lord, I thank you for bringing us together to focus a little bit more on you, Father. I just ask you to bless those that are listening, Father, and even those that they tell about this program, that you will bless them and continue to teach them and encourage them, Lord. We thank you for all that you do, and we know that someday when you return, that is when we will get our reward. We thank you, Father, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless, guys. See you next week. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free.